2 Peter chapter 2, reading verses 12 through 14. Begin in verse 1 and then skip down to verse 12. In verse 1, "For there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." Verse 12. "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart, they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children." Heavenly Father, again tonight we ask thy blessings upon the reading of thy word. Lord, that thou would speak to us tonight, that thy will to be done in this service. For it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now last week we were looking at verse 10 and verse 11. I'll just read those verses again quickly, verse 10 and 11. "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of the uncleanness and despise government, presumptuous are they, self-willed, they're not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord." Now last week we were looking at arrogant rebels, again these false prophets and false teachers, and we considered their arrogance, and we even compared them with the angelic beings. And we know that according to 1 Corinthians 11:10, and actually other places, that angels are present in the service with us in worship service. And angels are over divine order, and angels are offended, as God is offended, when there's a lack of authority and submission in the church. And so we considered that last week, that they despise government, they speak evil of dignities, and then comparing them with the angelic beings. Now, this evening, I'm titling the message, Brute Beast. And next week, when we pick up our studies in verse 15 and 16, we're going to spend a whole time on Balaam. Balaam was a false prophet. Even though he spoke with the Lord spoke to him, and even though he gave a prophecy of the coming Messiah, he was a false prophet. He was a soothsayer. Now notice with me in verse 12, the reason I read verse 1 is because of this. He said in verse 12, "But these," he's referring to the false prophets of verse 1. He's referring to the false prophets as in verse 10, "but chiefly them." He's continuing showing the characteristics of the false prophets. I mentioned to you last week that you've heard the expression, "fools rush in where angels fear to tread." That's exactly what some men do. They will go into places and say things and despise government and authority and dominion and speak evil and blaspheme things, and whereby angels would not even do so. And we gave an example in Jude of Michael the archangel and Satan discussing the body of Moses. So next week, we'll pick up with Balaam, but notice this evening, spend a few moments and in dealing with the subject of brute beast. He said in verse 12, "But these, as natural brute beast, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." Now let me say something right now before we get any farther, and I'm going to come back in a few moments and maybe give you some verses on it. But we find that when we come to the subject of apostates, and that's what we're talking about here, false prophets, false teachers, apostates, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke harder against them than anyone else in the first century. And the apostles did the same thing. When you really take this chapter into consideration, and by the time we get through the end of it, I mean, Peter has some very hard words against the false teachers. The Lord Jesus did the same thing. Jesus Christ was much more kinder to the drunks and harlots of his day than he was the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees and the lawyers and so forth. As a matter of fact, in John 4 and John 8, the Lord Jesus, he spoke the truth, but he was kind to the woman taken in adultery, and he was kind to the woman that was a woman at the well, and the one that had many husbands. He spoke the truth to her, both of these women, but he also showed them forgiveness and repentance, and they both obviously did so. We know for sure the woman at the well. But when the Lord addressed the scribes and Pharisees, the hypocrites as he calls them, he was not really kind to them. He was very harsh in his words against them. Now, they're referred to in verse 12 as natural brute beast, these false prophets. They're like wild animals that cannot reason, that are to be captured and destroyed. He said, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. I want you to notice two passages, the book of Jude. In the book of Jude, reading in verse 10. In the book of Jude, reading in verse 10. Now, when he refers to them as beast, the beast is the lower creature. You have the angelic order, and then mankind, and then you have the beast, the lowest order of creation. And he refers to them as beasts. Now, why does he do that? Well, they're fierce, they're savage, they're irrational, they exercise no control over their appetite, and they have ungoverned passions. And so that's why that he refers to men and these false prophets as beast. But he calls them brute beast. And you'll find the word brute used in Psalms 49:10 and also in Psalms 72:6. It's used a few times in the book of Jeremiah, and it basically means brutish, foolish, no understanding. So we're talking about natural brute beast. So in the book of Jude, he says in verse 10, but these, again, he's speaking of the same type of people, but these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally, as brute beast, in those things they corrupt themselves. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians, reading in chapter 15. And there's other places I just want to use these two. I think Jeremiah 12:3 also. But in 1 Corinthians 15, and I'm coming down into the middle of the chapter. We're coming down to about verse 32. Verse 32, the Apostle Paul is given a reason for his labor and his stand, and he's speaking to the Corinthians, Christians there, and he says in verse, I'm just going to cut in and read one verse. He says in verse 32, if after the manner of men I have fought with beast at Ephesus, what advantageth me if the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for the morrow we die. Speaking of the resurrection, the Apostle Paul is speaking of his life, his ministry, his reason for what he does, and he's basically saying that if there is no resurrection, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And he also says, why have I fought with beasts at Ephesus? In other words, he fought with men that oppose the truth. Now, coming back to our text, in verse 12 of 2 Peter 2, And so these are natural brute beasts. They're foolish. They have no understanding. Natural, as we find in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. So by nature, they're without reason and they're senseless. So he says, but these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed. So they speak evil, they blaspheme, but their utter destruction is coming. We see that in verse 1, we see that in verse 3, we read that in verse 9. He's reserved judgment for the unjust. We see that here in this passage, and we'll see it a few other times before we finish this chapter. Now, verse 12, but these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Now, he laid down that statement in verse 1, the latter part of verse 1. He said, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. So they're made to be destroyed. Now, let me mention a couple of things. I want you to, before we get into the next verse, turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 23. Now, this passage was on my mind this week as I was preparing this message tonight. And the Lord speaks. He said, woe unto the Pharisees and scribes, these hypocrites, these apostates, these lawyers, these who opposed him. And what I did this week, and I thought we would move around a little bit in the book of Matthew, but I'm just going to kind of stick to chapter 23, because when I started looking through the book of Matthew only, we could go to Mark and Luke and John, but in Matthew alone, now I didn't read every chapter. I kind of skipped through the book, but half of the chapters probably in this book, he addresses the apostates, the hypocrites, the Pharisees and scribes that stood against him. They're addressed by John the Baptist in chapter 3. Jesus addressed them in chapter 5 in verse 20. Again in chapter 12, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 19, chapter 21, and in chapter 22. And that's just skipping around, not reading every verse through that. There's probably many more. So he addresses what we're going to read here a number of times, but we find here in this chapter that he kind of sums up the thoughts and teachings and whatever of the scribes and Pharisees. Now, I'm not going to read the first number of verses, but I'm going to pick up a reading in verse 13. This chapter is filled with woes to the scribes and the Pharisees. And this is what the Lord spoke about. This is what Peter is speaking about. He says in verse 13, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Harsh words, firm words to the false teachers. Verse 14, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, for to make a pretense, make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. In verse 15, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, and he goes on to elaborate on that, they say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. They had their own system of theology that they had made up. In verse 23, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought you to have done, and not leave the other undone. He's saying everything is important, but he said that the scribes and Pharisees, they picked and choose what they wanted to believe and not believe, or obey and not obey. And he says you omitted the weightier matters of the law. He said you should have obeyed everything that God has said. He said in verse 24, "You blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, hide, hair, tail, and all, but they strain at a gnat." He said in verse 25, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but within they're full of extortion and excess." Again, he refers to them as blind Pharisees in verse 26. In verse 27, he speaks of them. In other words, the outside appears to be beautiful, but the inside is rotten. He said in verse 28, "Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity." In verse 29, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulcher of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with the blood, with them rather, in the blood of the prophets." Well, they killed the greatest prophet that ever lived, the Lord Jesus Christ. This whole chapter is a condemnation of them, and he accuses them of shedding blood from the book of Genesis of Abel until Zacharias of Barachiv in 2 Chronicles, which that would be the outlay of the Hebrew Bible, Genesis to 2 Chronicles. In other words, he's saying from the beginning of the Bible, the Old Testament, to the end, you have shed blood. And then in verse 36, 37 through 39, he says, "Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now, we didn't read all of that, but coming back to our text, one whole chapter, the Lord Jesus condemns the Pharisees, scribes, hypocrites, and so forth. That's exactly what Peter is doing in our chapter. I had planned to go through this chapter in the very beginning, in four messages, and that's not going to happen. I think we need to meditate upon these things, because harsh words that are given toward the false teachers and the false prophets. Verse 12 again, as we come back to our text. We find here that he says, "But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption." In verse 13, "And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to write in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." This spot and blemishes. Let's go back to the book of Jude and notice with me in the book of Jude, reading this time in verse 12. We read verse 10 a moment ago. Notice in verse 12. Next week we'll come back and read verse 11, dealing with Balaam. But notice in verse 12. Now, what do we mean by spots and blemishes? I think we all know, don't we? We're talking about defects, imperfection, sin, stains, faults. We could go on with a list of things. And here's the thing. When you go back into the Old Testament, we find that in Exodus 12:5, that the children of Israel were to take a lamb. This was the first Passover. They were to take a lamb, and that lamb was to be without spot and blemish. Nothing wrong with it. It's to be a male, a young lamb, and they actually put it up on the 10th day of the month and observed it, and kill that lamb on the 14th day of the month. And that lamb had to be perfect in the sense that it could be. It could not be without, it could not have spot or blemish and so forth. And this is why 1 Peter 1:19 says that Jesus Christ, who shed his blood, that he was without spot and blemish when he came to die for sins. It says that again in Hebrews 9 and in verse 14. So all of the animal sacrifices, beginning in Leviticus chapter 22, verse 19, the sacrifices had to be without spot and blemish. And that's why in the book of Malachi, in chapter 1, verse 8 and verse 14, the Lord said, "Why will you bring unto me the sacrifices with blemish and that are blind and that are sickly and so forth?" Putting some of that in my own words. But he said, "Why would you bring that to me and bring it as offering?" He said, "Would you give that to the governors? In other words, you pay taxes with this, or would you give that to someone else?" So this is very important. And so we find that these false teachers that was in the Old Testament, in the first century, that are around today, that they tried to mingle themselves with the people of God. And by the way, let me give you one other statement, one other passage or two other. Write down Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, verse 27 and 28, speaking of the church, and he's using husbands and wives in verse 25 and 26, and then in verse 27, he speaks of the church. And he said that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, and but that it should be holy and without blemish. So this is the way the Lord will, church will be presented to him in the end. And Deuteronomy 32:5 says, "They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation." Spot and blemish. So the false teachers were spots and blemishes to the people of God, to the church of God, and they did try to mingle themselves among them. Now notice here, we're reading in Jude, verse 12, "These are spots." Now, these are the brute beast of verse 10 and the false teachers of the way of Cain in verse 11, the Arab Balaam and the gainsaying of Cori. Verse 12, "These are spots in your feast of charity." In other words, they're a problem. They are blemishes in your feast of charity. And he says, "And when they feast with you," notice, "feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots." I mean, some hard language. And if you ever want to go back over it again, we've taught the book of Jude here a number of years back and came and went through these verses. Of course, we're going to come back to Jude next week and then the following week and keep, because there's so much parallel truth here with these. But notice he calls it here the feast of charity, and go back with me to 2 Peter. In this passage, he says in verse 13, he says, "Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you." You say, what is this? Well, they were blemishes and spots among God's people. And the feast of charity has to do one of two things, I believe, or maybe both. It has to do with either the Lord's Supper or a fellowship meal that the church would have, or again, maybe both of those. Because as we read through, I'll not turn there, but as we read through 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we find that there was, it appeared to be a common meal that was held in association or connection the same time with the Lord's Supper by God's people. And we know that in 1 Corinthians 11 that there were heresies among them. There were sects and schisms and divisions in the church at that time, and that's why God had judged some of the people at Corinth. Some of them were sickly, some of them had already died because of the Lord chastening them. Now, there were people that were not treating one another right in the assembly in Corinth, and especially during the time when they would have a meal and coming together for the Lord's Supper. So we find that these false teachers, they tried to mingle themselves among the people of God, and they were blemishes among them. Okay, and they're to be kept out from the people of God is what he's trying to say to us. And here's a couple of other verses you can write down. Romans 16:18, they serve their own belly, and that's what we're getting from our text as we read through this chapter. Philippians 3:19, whose God is their belly. And then in Exodus 12:38, there is that mixed multitude that came out with the Jews out of Egypt, and they continuously drug down the spiritual life of the covenant people of God. And they're the ones, it was the mixed multitude that first began complaining about no water, no food, or the manna, or they were sick of everything that God had given to them. And that's what we have here. These are people that we're looking at here, people who have their own agenda. Okay. Now notice verse 13 again. Now if I move over some of words in this passage and not really comment on them, the reason I will do that sometimes is because that we've already spoken of it in the chapter, or we will speak of it before we finish the chapter. So there's a little bit of repetition in this chapter and with the book of Jude. So I haven't just taken each word out of here, but that's the reason why. Verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure. Notice that. I made mention of those who are rebels and those who are rebellious against God, and they take pleasure in their unrighteousness. He said in verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure. Notice, to write in the daytime. That would be like in Romans 13:13. He uses this expression, that's revelings, overindulgence. Be like a military or an athletic celebration after a victory. In other words, they take pleasure in right in the daytime. Notice spots they are and blemishes. So let's keep that in mind. We never tolerate false teachings and heresies, anything that causes divisions or brings about any false doctrine. It is never to be tolerated in our life, in our family, and in the church family either. I mean, think about now what Jesus Christ said. He called them many more names than I've ever called them. And Peter has already called them many more names than we have probably ever called any false teacher. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ gave them no place whatsoever in his church. He never gave them any slack or any place because they were a danger to his people. Okay, keep that in mind. All right, come down with me now, this time to verse 14. In verse 14, he says, having eyes full of adultery. We've already seen that once in the text. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Now notice who they go after. He said, beguiling unstable souls. These are the ones they target to draw away with every wind of doctrine, as in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14. The unstable souls become easy targets. They become easy targets. So he says, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, and notice they are called cursed children. That is, they are damned, they are condemned, anathema, maranatha. In other words, they, over and over in this text, and in Matthew 23, and in other places, the Lord clearly, He says that they will be cast into hell. They will receive the greater damnation, the greater degree of condemnation. And so we want to be serious where the Lord is serious and try to keep our doctrine pure. And if we even sense that anyone is messing with anyone else with false doctrine, we must address that and we must talk about that. We do not want to see people led astray from the true doctrines of God. And so we'll pick up next week. The whole sermon next week will be on Balaam. And the whole sermon Wednesday night will be on Jeremiah. And we're kind of with this book and getting into some of the prophets, they're dealing with a lot of the same thing. Would you stand with me this evening? Father, we do thank Thee for this time together, Lord. We just praise Thy name. We thank You for Your righteousness that we looked at this morning. We thank Thee, Lord, for giving us warning about the false prophets, that we can keep our eyes open, our ears open unto these things, that no one, not one of us, that be carried away with every wind of doctrine. Lord, we just pray now Your blessings upon the remaining of the service, which in Christ Jesus' name, amen.